quiet. This particular group of people, I'm not used to seeing so quiet.
Say what?
Exactly.
All right, there we go.
That's more like it. A few minutes.
Okay, the City Council will come back into order. Do we need to call the roll again? Or we had the roll called at 2 o'clock, and so, okay, we're all back. Okay, Sue, please read our 2:30 time certain, item 1398. And I do want to announce, I guess before you... Well, go ahead and read it, and then I'll make the announcement.
Okay. Appeal of Northwest District Association against the Historic Landmarks Commission's decision to approve with conditions the application of GFV Enterprises LLC, William DeMellis and Singer Properties for an 87-stall parking garage at 2311 through 2317 Northwest Irving Street.
Okay, Mayor Potter is going to participate by telephone. The mayor feels this is an emergency in that it jeopardizes the public interest in not getting this matter resolved expeditiously. So this matter has been in front of council previously and has been noticed again, and the hearing is today. Mayor also feels that his participation is important in resolving the issue and uphold the public interest in getting this matter resolved. So unless any member of council objects or any member of the public objects, we will have Mayor Potter dialed in.
Hi, Mayor. This is Sue, and I'm going to conference you right now. Hold on. Mayor Potter, do you hear us?
Yes, I do.
He's home sick.
Welcome, Mayor Potter.
Thank you.
Okay, now, let's see, you read the item, and so now we'll hear from our attorney.
Good afternoon. Before we begin the hearing, or the presentation part of the hearing, there are several announcements I need to make. They're required by state law concerning the kind of hearing we're having today, the order of testimony, and the scope of testimony. First, this is an evidentiary hearing. This means you may submit new evidence to the council in support of your arguments. This evidence may be in any form, such as testimony, letters, petitions, slides, photographs, maps, or drawings. Any photographs, drawings, maps, or other items you show to council during your testimony should be given to the council clerk at the end of your testimony to make sure they become a part of the record. We'll begin the hearing with a staff report by the Bureau of Development Services staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The appellant will go first and will have 10 minutes to present the appellant's case. Following the appellant, persons who support the appeal will go next. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak to the council. Next will be the principal opponent, in this case the applicant, who will have 15 minutes to address the City Council and rebut the appellant's presentation. After the applicant, the council will hear from persons who oppose the appeal. Again, each person will have 3 minutes to speak to the council. Finally, the appellant will have 5 minutes to rebut the presentation of the opponents of the appeal. The council may then close the hearing, deliberate, and take a vote on the appeal. If the vote is a tentative vote, the council will set a future date for the adoption of findings and a final vote on the appeal. And I would alert the council that my recommendation to you today will be whatever the outcome, that your decision be a tentative one today and that we set a future date for the adoption of findings. Finally, I'd like to announce several guidelines for those presenting testimony and participating in the hearing. These guidelines are established by the zoning code and state law and are as follows. First, any testimony and evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code that you believe apply to the decision. The BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of their staff report to the council. Second, if you fail to raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, you will be precluded from appealing to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. Finally, if the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow the council to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court to challenge the conditions of approval. And that concludes the opening statements.
Okay, thank you, Catherine. Do any members of council have any ex parte contacts they wish to declare?
I have had a number of meetings with opponents of the garage from the neighborhood over an extended period of time. I have remained as impartial as I could during those meetings and basically listened.
Mr. Adams?
My staff, Shoshana Oppenheim, has met with both the applicant and opponents, and topics discussed were safety, pedestrian conflict, and design changes to the most recent proposal for the structured garage. I have had maybe a passing comments from folks of all sides of the issue, just at my events and participation in community issues.
As a elected official, I've had no ex parte contact with anyone. I have staff people who have been briefed by people on both sides of the issue. And as a candidate, which was my status before May 20th of this year, I did hear from people on both sides of this issue.
Okay. Do any members of council have any conflicts of interest they wish to report? Does anybody in the audience wish to challenge a member of council on having no apparent conflicts of interest? Okay, great. Let's begin with the staff report.
Hey, good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Tim Herron. I'm with BDS and the Historic Design Review Team. Commissioner Fish, my pleasure to be in front of you for the first time. I have worked with all of you before, so to that, I will be as efficiently brief as I can. This is, of course, staff's presentation to Portland City Council on the appeal of an approval by the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission for the Irving Street Parking Garage Land Use Review 08-121424-HDZM Historic Design Review with Modification Requests. The zoning map indicates the site on the larger part of the Northwest District and also the Alphabet Historic District. The site is shown in red, indicated by the arrow. Approval criteria for this are the Community Design Guidelines, the Alphabet Historic District Design Guidelines, modifications through Historic Design Review, and the Oregon Statewide Planning Goals. As stated in the district plan, two specific areas of the district plan are urban character areas, and these two areas apply to the site because it is split. The west half of the site is for the Nob Hill residential areas. It has its own desired characteristics and tradition statement. And for the east half of the site, Streetcar Main Streets has its own desired characteristics and tradition statement. Commercial parking garage were very specifically approved as a part of the Northwest District Plan. This slide here shows a compilation of the larger area of six specifically designated sites for commercial parking garage. The site that is here before you today under an appeal is in fact location number one. This is an aerial view of the site as it exists. Google Earth was not efficient this last year. The existing building that you see in this slide has since been demolished, and a surface parking lot is in its place today, as shown by this slide. That was previously approved several years ago. These are quick views. I know you're all familiar with the site, both out of the site and the approximate boundaries of the garage, as well as across Irving Street. I believe we are all very familiar with the Northwest District and the Alphabet Historic District. And again, this shows more specifically the structure that is deemed non-contributing in the historic district will be demolished as a part of this development proposal, and the existing surface parking lot would, of course, be removed. The slide on the lower right shows an approximate envelope of where the building would be located, the parking garage, immediately behind Papa Hayden's. From a historic context standpoint, there's, of course, a history of parking garages and auto-oriented buildings throughout the district. Some of these other slides, of course, show more of the storefront detail and the quality of brickwork expected both in new developments because of what exists in the old. So the land use history of this project is somewhat extensive. I did fit it on one slide, however. The original proposal was submitted in May 16, 2006, after four public hearings with the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission. From August of 06 through November, the project was ultimately approved because of substantial changes that were made to the development. This approved project occurred in November of 06. The project was appealed by the Northwest District Association, the City Council. At the request of council, mediation was pursued to come to an agreement on this project. That did not conclude in time. The land use law requires us to process our applications within a year's time. And as a result, the applicant withdrew their proposal before a final vote was made by City Council. This new proposal before you today was submitted earlier this year in April 2008. And quickly, this shows above the original garage proposal as it came in to staff in May of 06. Several changes occurred as a result of the historic design review process, starting with the reduced number of curb cuts and the narrowed parking access shown in red, going from two double-wide spaces to a pair of single-wide spaces. The step massing of the original proposal was, in fact, taller originally. It was, of course, was at 103 parking stalls. Storefront windows were added to the proposal, storefront style of windows, as well as much more delineated pedestrian entrances into this commercial parking garage structure by awnings and doors being added, as well as upper story industrial sash windows in the upper bay of the east half of the garage. The one before you today is the structured parking garage of fewer stalls, now at 87. If you'll notice most clearly the upper story of the east half of the building has been removed. That's where those other cars, of course, would have been. It is still brick construction with a glazed storefront system of fabric and steel canopies. The eastern portion is built to the property line. The western portion is set back 2 feet. Two pedestrian entrances exist at the street, as indicated before, and one curb cut allows for vehicular access and egress. Externally, illuminated signage is proposed, as well as additional safety features, including audio and visual alarms, pedestrian safety signage, a control gate for vehicles, speed bumps, and a detectable pavement surface. These have been added since and from direction and advice on council the last time this project was here before you. Going through some of the side elevations, obviously this is a brick facade building on all sides. Papa Hayden's is just showed grayed out because of abutting that part of the building. Of course, you would not see it. And quickly, I will go through this, and if you are familiar, three modification requests were proposed and approved by the Landmarks Commission. These had to do with parking stall aisle dimensions, a ground floor window requirement, as well as required windows above the ground floor. I'll go through those quickly. Because of the narrowness of the site, stall depths, otherwise required to be 16 feet deep, were reduced to 14 feet 4 inches for several stalls to allow the circulation to occur on this garage. The modification as it applies to ground floor windows, windows into garage area does not count towards the standard. However, it was found considering it was a garage use and were detailed accordingly, found to be approvable. And the requirement also for ground floor windows above the ground floor, required windows above the ground floor, there is a requirement for them. This was impossible for the structure because of exterior bearing walls and this brick structure. And in consideration of its location and depth and setback behind Papa Hayden's, that was deemed approvable. And that is exactly what the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission did again for this parking garage structure, now at 87 stalls, and approval of all the modification requests. The appeal summary, I'll go through briefly, addressed issues of community design guidelines that were met, pedestrian safety, reference to a spot zone, as well as parking problems that exist in the district, and that the project contradicts goals of promoting mass transit, as well as sets an unattractive and regressive precedent. Of those, the upper portion are what relate to the approval criteria of this project, and that is to the design guidelines and to some degree to pedestrian safety. PDOT has submitted and has approved this project from their perspective in front of the Landmarks Commission because of the additional safety features that have been added. And so in conclusion, City Council has several options today. I think the city attorney addressed them already, so I won't go through this slide. That's the end of my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Actually, back up and go through that last slide.
Sure. Let me roll through it then. You can deny the appeal and uphold the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission's approval. The project would be approved as is. My only comment on that is the city attorney has offered that we look at the findings again and come back to adopt them. You can uphold the appeal and reverse the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission's decision of approval. Staff would need to revise the findings, of course, and we would need to return for a second hearing. This would deny the project. You could request changes or design changes or additional conditions of approval. And again, in that case, staff would need to return and revise findings, and the project could be approved with those changes of council's consideration. And you can, of course, request information to be reviewed at a future hearing if you deem so.
Questions for Mr. Heron?
So, can you go back two slides? So the
question. Sorry, it's only questions from council.
So the project does not meet criteria 1 through 3, and then the design guideline addendums and those numbers. And have you opined on that?
Yes, I've looked at the testimony, and I think it's just a matter of disagreement on what aspects of the garage and whether or not it meets those criteria related to historic integrity or the use of brick detailing or storefront windows. Those all reference those specific design guidelines to the garage design.
Then in terms of lights and audible signals, do you have an opinion on that point of their appeal?
Does staff have an opinion?
Yeah.
It's safer than it was approved the first time. With PDOT weighing in on it as well, I know there was some concern relating to one audible signals being inappropriate in a residential neighborhood, and I understand there was some conversation about limiting those tones in the evening time. And so there has been some fine-tuning or looking at kind of this micro approach of how to make this a safety system that doesn't intrude on residential character.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thanks, Tim.
Thanks.
So we will now have the appellant. And I forgot, Catherine, what was the time for the appellant? 10 minutes or 15?
We gave the appellant 10 minutes, and then they will have 5 minutes at the end for rebuttal.
Okay. Well, let's hear from the appellant. Welcome.
Thanks.
And if you could just give us your name, and then you have, as I said, you have 10 minutes.
My name is Juliet Hyams. I'm president of the Northwest District Association, and I live at 2324 Northwest Marshall. Excuse me. This afternoon, Tavo Cruz, my second vice president, is helping me out. Good afternoon. Thanks for having us. We appreciate all of your time and consideration of the matter of the Irving Street Garage. I realize that this complex issue has caused the city a great deal of time and discussion, and I'd like to reassure you that it is merited. But first, I want to tell you about my board of directors. It is an honor to preside over such an active and professional team. The NWDA board includes land use and urban planners, architects, transit planners, lawyers, writers, small business owners, and a former mayor. They are the third board in a row to unanimously oppose this project. They were elected during the first contested NWDA election in recent memory. Careful research and analysis and discussion lie behind every policy decision we make. Why have we spent so much time studying and opposing this project? Because it is a pivotal piece of policy, an anomalous land use that, if constructed, will set a troublesome precedent. As a result, the rest of the city is watching. This decision affects not just one lot or one neighborhood, but the perception of Portland's values and evolution. The NWDA is deeply...
Excuse me. Sue, can you stop the clock, first of all? There's something with the microphone.
Should I switch to a different one?
I think it's actually Tom. Tom's
water
on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that the phone connection?
I think it's probably the phone.
Mayor, I think we're hearing some interference from your phone. Well, next we'll proceed.
Okay. He's still connected, right? Okay.
Right.
Okay, actually, it sounds better.
Are they all the same?
Yeah, just try that one. Actually, why don't you... Try that one, or move that one over.
Just get over.
Okay. Resume the clock, please.
Thanks. The NWDA is deeply concerned about this project's conflicts with the Historic Alphabet District Community Design Guidelines, the Community Design Guidelines, and the Comp Plan. During previous hearings on this project, it has been opposed by three of Portland's mayors, as well as our incoming mayor. The Historic Landmarks Commission itself narrowly approved this design in a 3-2 vote. Their job is difficult because a commercial use on a residential lot is fundamentally incompatible with the historic design guidelines. During lengthy deliberation, commissioners commented that we're having to make decisions we feel violate our guiding principles, and the character of the neighborhood is at stake. They also identified some other larger issues about preserving landmark properties and preserving the viability of neighborhoods, but they concluded, we're not in a position to fix that. City Council is. Neighbors frequently talk to me about the proposed garage, as do residents from other parts of the city. They question the need for it and are wary of its implications for other parts of Portland. They dislike its placement near such effective transit. They worry about the seemingly arbitrary use of spot zoning. Its auto-oriented nature seems contradictory in a progressive city that includes a peak oil task force and is deliberately increasing its tree canopy. A garage like this placed on the periphery of the neighborhood would be one thing. However, such an intensive use at a central location raises significant safety issues. Note that PDOT's applicable traffic study does not reflect the numerous dense developments added near the site in the last 2 years and considers only cars, disregarding cyclists and pedestrians. Because this land use is unorthodox, we need new traffic and safety studies to adequately evaluate it. Therefore, we have requested two tools from PDOT, pedestrian safety criteria for parking garages in residential areas and pedestrian districts, and a multimodal traffic study for the intersection of Northwest 23rd and Irving. We consider these necessary to achieve state transportation goals. The garage's blank walls and lack of setbacks will degrade the granularity and character of our historic district. Furthermore, demolishing affordable housing to create a parking structure accelerates a trend away from the small independent businesses we now enjoy towards large national chains. Some people refer to this as the mollification of Northwest 23rd. Such a shift benefits distant corporations rather than our own community and undermines policies supporting sustainability and reduced carbon emissions. In fact, the recommendations of Portland's own peak oil task force adopted last year state that we will support land use patterns that reduce transportation needs, promote walkability, and design infrastructure to promote transportation options and facilitate efficient movement of freight. Let's talk about economics for a moment. The Papa Haydn restaurant currently has a 19-space surface parking lot behind it. A survey conducted this summer showed an 84% vacancy rate. One could argue that because the lot is relatively new, many potential patrons did not yet know of its existence. However, even when the restaurant itself is busy, the lot is not full, and surely most of the restaurant's patrons know of its existence. Similarly, two other nearby established paid lots experienced about a 50% vacancy this summer and during last year's Christmas season. Should Portland realize its goals of reduced vehicular traffic and increased transit use, urban parking structures occupying scarce land could become obsolete. Some say that our businesses will suffer without more parking. However, on September 29th, the Daily Journal of Commerce reported that retailers are drawn to Northwest 23rd, investing time and money to upgrade spaces. This has occurred without more paid parking. In fact, when discussing parking demand in Northwest Portland, it is critical to distinguish between free parking and paid parking. The demand appears to be for free parking, not paid lots or structures. Do we really want to compromise the policies that make Portland so attractive and promising for a project of dubious merit that so many residents oppose? Shouldn't we look for a simpler, comprehensive, flexible program that will benefit the majority rather than a few? This council has made so many decisions that set Portland apart. Today, make one more that will distinguish us and to support this appeal.
Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and commissioners. My name is Gustavo Cruz, and I'm a board member and second vice president of the Northwest District Association. I am also a lifelong resident of Northwest Portland, and I live at 2224 Northwest Johnson Street, approximately two blocks from this project. The purpose of my testimony is to highlight several points raised in the appellant's statement, which we submitted in support of this appeal. First, we believe that the proposed garage fails to satisfy the applicable design criteria. We submitted a detailed discussion of the guidelines, but I would like to draw your attention to guidelines 2 and 3 of the Historic Alphabet District Community Design Guidelines Addendum, which both speak to neighborhood compatibility issues. Despite the applicant's efforts to improve the aesthetic features of the project, the proposed garage still fails a test of compatibility with the neighborhood. This project is a new 31,000-square-foot parking garage on three levels with 87 spaces. The proposed garage may be compatible with other garages in commercial districts, but not with a historic district and a block dominated by residential properties. The mere size and scale of the garage will dwarf the nearby residential structures, and the character of the immediate area will change dramatically. The community design guidelines also apply, and I draw your attention to guideline E1, which deals with sidewalks and pedestrian areas. This project would demolish an existing multifamily residence and replace it with an outsized garage. Traffic flow to and from the garage will interrupt the pedestrian and bicycle traffic flow along Northwest Irving Street. Numerous additional guidelines apply to this project, and we've discussed them in our statement, but the bottom line is that issues of scale and mass, neighborhood compatibility, increased propensity for crime and mischief, and safety concerns are all implicated here. Regarding safety issues, this new design does not alleviate the well-founded safety concerns raised by the City Council and the NWDA during consideration of the original design. The applicant made changes to the entryway and added warning buzzers and lights, but this is still intended to be a far more intensive use than the existing residence and surface parking lot. Regardless of the new safety features, it is difficult to mitigate the effects of cars crossing the sidewalk regularly to and from the 87 spots. Exiting cars will not see sidewalk traffic until they are in it, and the likelihood of a collision with a pedestrian, bicyclist, or another motorist will increase. Third, there remains a technical legal argument that the spot zoning scheme allowing this garage to be built on this site may not be effective as a matter of law. Counsel for the appellant presented their argument on this point in a letter to the Historic Landmarks Commission, and we have responded in the form of an email to the City Council, which is now of record. We encourage the Council to ask the City Attorney to consider this issue and render a formal opinion as to the effectiveness of the plan in this zoning scheme. Along those lines, we also encourage the Council to consider whether setback requirements were adequately dealt with in adopting this zoning scheme. It is highly unusual to eliminate setback requirements by ordinance as opposed to an adjustment or design review process, and we note that the issue of setbacks is only considered late in the original process. It's my understanding that this was not thoroughly vetted either by the neighborhood or by Planning Bureau staff. Also, please note that this garage is a one-off structure and is not part of a comprehensive parking plan for our neighborhood. As Juliet mentioned, there's ample commercial parking in the Northwest District, but there's a scarcity of free parking. Rather than approve individual garage projects which cannot solve our parking problem, the City Council should actively promote the adoption of a balanced comprehensive plan. If you deny this appeal and allow the garage to go forward, you will in effect reward a piecemeal approach to parking in our neighborhood. We need a balanced, comprehensive plan that will benefit businesses, residents, and visitors alike. Finally, I noticed an editorial in yesterday's New York Times regarding California's innovative new anti-sprawl law aimed at curbing urban sprawl and auto use to reduce greenhouse gases. After promoting the car culture for decades, California is a latecomer to this issue. However, in Oregon and Portland in particular, we have long supported smart urban planning and alternative forms of transportation. Why then, at a time when even our car-centric neighbors of the South are embracing urban density and mass transit, would the city of Portland approve a new parking garage in a dense urban historic district? We encourage you to reject this application and allow us to pursue a parking solution that does not clash so dramatically with our civic values and what makes our neighborhood special. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Questions for the appellant? Okay, thank you. We're going to now hear from supporters of the appellant. I'm going to limit testimony to 2 minutes because I think there's quite a few people signed up to testify. 2 minutes apiece. So if you call up the first three supporters.
13 supporters. I'll call you up three at a time. First will be Leland Stapleton, Jim Ferguson, Sandra Stapleton. They'll be followed by Carmela Ettinger, Dan Volkmar, and Kim Carlson.
Welcome. If you could each just give us your name, and you'll have 2 minutes, and the clock's right in front of you.
Mayor and Council, I'm Lee Stapleton. I live at 2445 Northwest Westover Road, Unit 204. I have submitted written comments for your perusal. I wish to reiterate that even though the ordinance allowing zero setbacks, the design criteria should require setbacks to allow a transition to the residential structures to the west or north if you're so stupid enough to allow this building to be built. Now I wish to relate an incident occurring yesterday afternoon while I was walking in the neighborhood. I was walking west on Northwest Irving adjacent to the current service parking lot. A black Cadillac SUV exited a lot without stopping at the sidewalk. What's really ironic is that the driver of the vehicle is in this room. He's one of the applicants. Maybe that individual would like to address how any parking facility at this site could ever be safe. Thank you.
Go ahead.
My name is Jim Ferguson. I live at 2333 Northwest Irving Street, and I appreciate this opportunity to address the council. My property will be due west of the proposed parking structure. I've been a resident of this part of Portland for 22 years, and I'm looking forward to having a 100-foot times 25-foot high brick wall along my property line with no setbacks. I have four windows that are facing east. They will all be less than 30 inches away from a brick wall. I have one window facing southeast, and every day at 9 o'clock, the sun comes in through that window. I will not see the sun when the wall is there. If I sit on my porch, over half of my field of view will be obscured by a brick wall. When they put the service lot in, I had several objects fall from my shelves. Now the wall is going to be 32 inches away from my 104-year-old foundation and will undercut my foundation by over 10 feet on the south end. My roof will be less than 10 inches from the top of the structure, and anyone will have access to my roof or my neighbor's roof. Construction is estimated to last 18 months. We are all familiar with these type of parking structures downtown. I'm sure the flashing lights and audible alarms will help with the clash of pedestrians and increased auto traffic that are predicted. I moved into a neighborhood. My two nearest neighbors include a 95-year-old who has never had a driver's license and still walks to the store and will be subject to the increased activity on our street. My other nearest neighbor has become a proud new parent last month, and I hope someday to see their son playing on the sidewalk in front of the house. But I have concerns about being next to the structure. Thank you very much. For,
thank you.
My name is Sandra Stapleton. I reside at 2445 Northwest Westover Road. I have been a resident of Portland all my life, having been born and raised here. And I have a deep concern about our city. Always have, always will. Several months ago, I attended a public forum put on by the City of Portland's Bureau of Planning. Gil Kelly presided over it. The topic was the concept of 20-minute neighborhoods in order to help reduce auto traffic. At no time during the forum did I hear anyone in attendance advocate for more garages. My question to you is, why are you wasting my time and the time of many others, including city planners, in attending such forums promoting better livability and less pollution in our city, and then you will possibly allow what is being proposed today?
Thank you. Could you call the next three, please?
Next three, Carmela Ettinger, Dan Volkmer, Kim Carlson. They'll be followed by Steve Finger, Pete Colt, and Jeff Love.
Maybe you're good. Welcome.
I'm going to talk very fast. My name is Carmela Ettinger. I own the El Carlos Apartments at 2324 Northwest Johnson Street, which is directly behind the proposed garage. The El Carlos was built in 1906. There are leaded glass cabinets in the kitchens, hardwood floors, extremely large rooms and closets, and 10-foot-high ceilings. One of the current residents has been there since 1979, another since 1981. The rents are very affordable. Behind the building, there's a small private landscape yard. Some of the pictures are going up that one of the residents took out of his living room window. There's a large birch tree which provides shade and screening in the middle of the yard. If the garage is built, the residents are facing the loss of all the greenery outside of their windows, and instead there will be a brick wall that is 30 feet high and unbroken by any design elements. I object to allowing the garage to be built on the property line or over the property line, as the developer hopes to do. I was told that it was... Okay.
It's okay. That's all right. We'll call him. It may be appropriate to teleconference him when we're ready to discuss. He's watching it on television. We'll confirm with him.
Yeah, if he's doing that,
he can
call him.
Yeah, we'll call him then. Oh, okay.
Channel 30, so I am listening to the...
No, that's okay. Oh, Mayor? Yes, we have you in again.
So I just want... When he's online, we're getting that static. I wonder, since he's watching on Channel 30, we're going to have him call in at the end of the testimony when we're having council discussion. Oh, I'm sorry.
Under the code, if he's going to participate electronically, he needs to be present electronically.
I see. Well, isn't he present electronically by watching Channel 30?
We need to hear his static.
I've heard quite enough of that, thank you. Yeah, he heard that. He's here.
Can you turn the static down?
No, he can't.
I had almost 2 minutes when we started talking about the mayor. Did I lose all my time?
No, you didn't stop the clock.
Okay. I'll talk even faster. I was told that it was impossible to build the...
That's good. There you go. Yeah. Just do it.
I was told that it was impossible to build the garage without a full 100-foot depth. The new proposal is for a garage that is 98 feet deep on the west side. It's my conviction that if a garage is built at this location, that it should be no more than 93 feet deep and that there should be a landscape buffer. The city requires setbacks to reduce the impact of development on adjacent properties and to allow sunlight, landscaping, fire protection, and reasonable privacy, waiving the setback deprives the El Carlos residents of all of that. After many discussions with the developers trying to mitigate the damage to my property, I asked where exactly the wall was going to be, and I was then told that the intention is to build the wall 3 feet on my side of the fence between the properties, which is directly through the birch tree. Several months ago, just before submitting this application, the developers removed the corner of the fence on my property, and I discovered their contractor digging holes in my landscaping in order to construct the surface parking lot. At this time, I'm not going to let the developers or their contractors on my property at all because I believe it will be extremely disruptive to the property. And people have asked me why I'm concerned about the garage when it's only a rental property. And it's because I believe that renters have a right to high-quality, clean, well-cared-for, beautiful, and affordable housing in Portland. And I think the residents of the El Carlos have that, and they have the same rights and should have the same rights that homeowners have. I do support changing the rules when it serves the community as a whole. However, it makes no sense to me to allow a private developer to build a commercial parking garage on a residential lot and to waive all setback and landscaping requirements when there's clearly no consensus that this will benefit the neighborhood. I've also addressed the specific standards in writing, and I hope that you'll take the time to look at it. Thank you very much, and thanks for considering this appeal.
Good job.
Dan Volkmer. The guidelines are clear. The parking garage will never integrate with the neighborhood. This from Architect and Landmarks Commissioner Peter Meiser. Scores of neighbors with diverse backgrounds and who share a common love for and understand the need to maintain balance have consistently spoke up against the garage. We all point to the guidelines and say, no, the parking garage increases hazards to pedestrians. No, the commercial parking garage is too big and out of scale on this residential side street. No, the parking garage causes the demolition of affordable housing and the 100-year-old Julia and Lee Holly Hoffman House. And no, the parking garage reflects an outdated carbon-producing type of thinking that is so not where Portland wants to go in 2008. Today we ask you, be a city council that says, yes, we put neighborhood livability above individual private gain. That's why we went to all the trouble to produce these guidelines. Let's not let these precious guidelines be defeated by lawyering and lobbying. If you vote for this garage, you're basically saying the guidelines are ineffective. I'm here to ask you to support and uphold the guidelines and support NWDA's appeal. Thank you.
My name is Kim Carlson. I live at 2442 Northwest Thurman Street. I'm active in NWDA and the Transportation Committee. The Irving Garage proposal conflicts with Comprehensive Plan Policy 6.5F, 6.8A, 6.25B, and 6.27C. The Irving Garage proposal creates an auto-oriented use in conflict with the local service traffic street that Irving is, creates an auto-oriented use in conflict with pedestrian district that it's in, creates new parking spaces where they conflict with land use, transportation, environmental objectives, and environmental objectives, and the Irving Garage proposal does not consider transportation capacity and parking demand for all motor vehicles. Just because you can squeeze 87 parking spaces onto a local service residential street doesn't make it is not a reason to do it. Just steps away on the corner of Northwest Irving Street, PDOT counted 829 pedestrians in a single hour. This is the single busiest corner for pedestrians outside of the central city. After years of ignoring the transportation impact of development related to the remand, West Portland planner Brian Sheehan came to my October Transportation Committee meeting and told us that development does have a transportation impact and it will now be considered. That needs to apply to a parking garage development and it should apply to the impact on the pedestrian environment. No such transportation study has been done for the proposed Irving Street garage. It is especially important due to the high concentration of auto activity already on Northwest Irving. Fruit and Flower Child Care accounts for 200 vehicle trips each weekday, and the Cambridge condominiums generates an estimated 568 trips per day, and their garage is right at the next block. The vehicle crash history on Northwest Irving Street at 23rd Avenue is second only to Burnside and 23rd. In 4 years between 2000 and 2004, there were 11 crashes at Northwest Irving and 23rd Avenue. Two of those involved pedestrians in the pedestrian right-of-way, and both were driver error. The Irving Garage, as it's designed and sited, only exacerbates already unsafe conditions for pedestrians. As you think about the future of our city and how your approval of a parking garage will impact our livability, I wanted you to know that the Northwest Streetcar Discussion Work Group did a survey this summer. 545 people voluntarily took it about the future of streetcar in Northwest Portland, 84% of all survey respondents said that a streetcar pairing of 23rd Avenue and 21st Avenue should be considered. I think that's incredible. Half of the survey respondents live in the 2709 and 2710 zip codes. The other half were from outside the neighborhood, and that still was the case. I respectfully ask you to uphold the appeal and reverse the Portland Landmarks Commission decision. Thanks.
Thank you.
Next are Steve Pinger, Pete Colt, and Jeff Love. They'll be followed by Mike Ryerson, Bud Clark, and Bonnie McKnight.
Thank you. Hi there, Pete Colt, and I'll just throw this away then since I have 2 minutes. First, I'd chair the Northwest District Association Public Safety and Livability Committee, and my concern about the garage is this last month, a criminal fleeing from the police grabbed a woman off of Northwest 21st and followed her and raped her in her home. And I'm wondering if on this project, as should be on every project from its inception here in Portland, we have, in addition to PDOT and the other departments, we should be having the police department involved so that as a project moves along, the police can say, this is a good sighting, this is a bad sighting, this needs to be changed here, this needs to be changed there. I think in terms of this garage that's not been done, because there are stairways in and out and somebody could be grabbed and pulled off the street. Just as important as that, I think, is this. Those kids this morning were darling, and they had it right. They want a bike, and they want to walk. And in our neighborhood, the Northwest District, which is 6/10 of a mile from the freeway to the West Hills and 13/10 of a mile from Burnside to the river, we have basically the crown jewel in Portland. We have what every other city wants. We have a residential community, literally a 20-minute walk from downtown as opposed to a 20-minute drive from downtown. I love our small neighborhood businesses. I love the fact that Inc. has rated, changed Portland's rating in terms of its small business lovability. It's moved up 30 points from 2006 to 2007, and a large part of that I attribute to you gentlemen sitting up there on the city council and your small business friendly attitudes. I think our small businesses, especially the ones in our neighborhood, need to step up to the plate at this time. We have Northwest 21st, Northwest Thurman, and Northwest 23rd, each of which is designated as a main street. Northwest 21st and Northwest Thurman, they gear their businesses to us, the 14,000 people who live in this tiny district and who walk or bike. Northwest 23rd needs to get with it. The internet is taking away their business. Lifestyle centers like Bridgeport Village is taking away their business. We're asking them to start looking to us, their neighbors, to generate their income because we will very happily support them. Thanks.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Pinger. I'm a Portland native and have lived in Northwest Portland for 25 years. I've submitted written comments, so I'll summarize them in my two-minute version here. I wish to speak specifically to the question of the protections intended under Title 33 of our municipal code. I am deeply troubled by the apparent failure of the Northwest Plan District Ordinance as adopted in 2003 to uphold the fundamental protections provided to neighboring property owners that are typical between residential and commercial uses. The owner of a parcel of residentially zoned property must be able to have a reasonable expectation that he will be protected by ordinance from a neighboring parcel of residentially zoned property being developed with a use that is not permitted in a residential zone. But this is precisely what is being done, being allowed to happen here. Furthermore, this illegal use is being allowed by ordinance to be constructed without any setbacks and with a massing that would not remotely be allowed by the base zone requirements. This constitutes both a failure of fundamental land use protections and a taking of individual property rights. I do believe in contrast to the staff's position that the underlying zoning issues are relevant and fundamental here. I recommend that the council overturn the decision of the Landmarks Commission on the grounds that the underlying enabling ordinance is legally invalid and direct the commission to deny approval of this proposal until the subject site is rezoned to accommodate this proposed use through the normal and appropriate public processes. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jeff Love. I live at 2925 Northwest Raleigh Street. I used to live at 2344 Northwest Johnson Street, right behind the proposed site. And I moved shortly after in 2003. The council approved the site. And at the time, I had my family was living there. We had two small children whose ages at the time were about, I believe, 9 and 11. And, you know, the harm that a garage like this, a commercial garage on a residential block does, is not just the harm to the people who are injured because they're hit, as one witness testified, he was recently hit at that site by a car coming out of the lot. But it's also the harm, you know, to families, to mothers and fathers who have young kids who want to raise them on the block, that block, as many families have for generations, but who feel like now the block's becoming too unsafe. It's a very residential block. Most of the lots are single-family residences. I urge the city council to deny this design for two specific reasons. One is it's a massive site. It's a big block that does not satisfy the design criteria for landscaping and for scale and proportion that's in keeping with the other, with the buildings on the other lots on the block. For my house on Johnson Street, over half my lot was dedicated to bamboo trees, cedar trees, magnolia trees, a Japanese plum tree. We had landscaping, and that's something that made it more livable for everybody. And that's the same is true with most of the other family homes on that block. Except for that lot, they want to use up almost every available inch of it to just build a big block structure, and it makes it ugly. And it also makes it unsafe for families that want to raise children there. What they want to do is to increase the amount of traffic going along that sidewalk by hundreds of cars per day crossing that sidewalk, going in and out several times. That's a serious risk. They haven't shown that it's safe. They've showed they made efforts to make it safer, but it's not nearly as safe as it is now, and it should be rejected for the safety and design reasons. Thank you.
Thank you. And I hope you feel better, Mayor Potter.
Next is Mike Ryerson, Bud Clark, Bonnie McKnight, and they'll be followed by Kathy Galbraith. Yes.
Welcome. We'll start with Mayor Clark.
Start with me? Okay. Yeah. Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, Mayor Potter and Council. I am Bud Clark, homeowner at 2522 Northwest Northrop, and a board member of the Northwest District Association. I am here again to appeal for respect for the sacred line. Sacred line marks the separation of commercial properties from housing properties in my neighborhood, the Northwest District. The NWDA has been a positive influence for both the residents and commercial owners of our neighborhood since 1969. The NWDA worked together with the business community to create the 1977 Northwest District Plan. The 1977 Northwest District Plan established the sacred line, which secured the commercial properties for the best interests of the business owners and secured the housing properties for the best interests of the residents. We both have thrived beyond anyone's expectations since the plan was adopted. Christmas time reminds me of those cooperative times. We, the residents, volunteered and broke the concrete to plant the trees on 21st and 23rd. We, the residents, planted the trees, and the business owners brightened our winter nights with Christmas lights. Ogden Beeman, a founder of the NWDA, was interviewed in 1999 by Ernie Bonner for the PSU Nohad Tulin School of Urban Studies and Planning. In 1999, speaking about how times have changed since the 70s, Ogden said, quote, "Now you'd be laughed at if you wanted to talk about destroying houses to build parking lots," unquote. Ogden died January 12th of this year. With Ogden's quote in mind and all the cooperation between the business community and residents which made my neighborhood prosper, the sacred line means to me, if you put in parking on the housing side of the sacred line, it will have housing above it. If it does not have housing above it, it is violating the design guidelines of our neighborhood. I hope we'll all be laughing again when your vote is taken. Thank you.
Sir, no applause. If you want to indicate your support, wave your hands. Okay, we'll go with Bonnie next.
Mayor Potter, members of the council, my name's Bonnie McKnight. I live at 1617 Northeast 140th in Portland. I coordinate the citywide land use group, but speak for myself in support of this appeal. More than 15 years have passed since members of this community began working with the city to develop a plan which all interests could live with and support. As all such plans, it was made up of compromises, individual losses and victories, and a balance being struck between competing views and interests. It seems to me that that is the essence of how a city can be built to fit more than just a few of its residents. We need to recognize the importance and the unique opportunity this historic area of Portland provides to city residents. This Northwest area is a destination sought out by people throughout the city to shop, eat, and experience a neighborhood all at the same time. It has managed to mix a variety of lifestyles, public parks, medical facilities, entertainment sites, restaurants, and small businesses and shops in a way unique from any other in the city. It already has multimodal transportation and is actively exploring adding a streetcar to its already frequent transit service, appropriate auto access, and pedestrian ways. The current comprehensive plan, Portland plan process, is beginning to better define and guide us to a 20-minute neighborhood. While there's no firm definition of what that means, the comfort provided by the term responds to what I believe is present in the core of Northwest Portland. It is not a place to drive in and out of. It is a place to leave your car at the edges and then take time to explore for its varieties of experiences, and it's a place to live. I hope you will not support the addition of a parking structure in the center of this historic area. A parking structure will only disrupt the complex fabric of the setting. I ask you to preserve this 20-minute neighborhood and the integrity of the public planning process that was completed long ago.
Thank you. Mike.
My name is Mike Ryerson. I'm a 68-year resident of Northwest Portland, as was my mother and my grandfather. I'd like to draw your attention to three graphic elements that I brought with me. The first being a map of from Pettigrove to Burnside from 20th to 25th. It shows over 100 red dots on this map. Each one of those red dots today is a parking lot. And a house was torn down to make room for every one of them. We started doing this in the 50s when we did away with the streetcar. We now have a streetcar again, and we're still building parking lots. The lot, if you'll go to the second illustration there, the purple, the green line, what you see down the center, is 23rd Avenue. The purple line on either side of it is what Bud refers to as the sacred line. You can see the red boxes to the side of that. Those are parking lots that are out of the commercial area. The yellow box there shows you how the developer proposes to extend into the residential area. On the third graphic, called Empty Spaces, I spent over a year surveying these lots, taking photographs of them, and never have I seen a lot full, only on a given day when they gave free parking. Each of those three columns is a parking lot owned by Richard Singer, the developer. The new one at 23rd and Irving, which is 19 spots now, you see is highly unused, has an average of 3.1 cars in it at any given busy peak time. What good another 58 spots are going to do, I don't know. But I hope that you'll vote against this. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask one question of former Mayor Clark. So just so I understand, your objection isn't so much the garage as it is the loss of the residential house.
Well, there are all sorts of other reasons because of the safety. That's what I testified about the last time, and there's been some improvement on that, but still there's not the setbacks. I mean, I agree with all the other reasons, too.
Okay.
But the point is this sacred line was, I mean, that's something that shouldn't even been thought of doing, is crossing that sacred line to tear down a house. And there's a lot of other places they can build parking lots too, but we don't need any more traffic in Northwest Portland, and certainly not with the crisis now with the fuel and et cetera. I mean, we should be, actually, I think you ought to make 23rd a walking street, but that's another thing.
Not a bad idea.
Thank you. Thank you all.